Hi, it's Dave. Welcome to a new live show. Well, if you haven't heard, the rumors is that Tesla is going to choose Austin as the site of their new next gigafactory. But not just that, Elon Musk is trying to get Model Y vehicles off of the line, or at least assembled in this Austin gigafactory or Terrafactory by the end of this year. So in this episode of this live stream, we're going to go ahead and look at kind of the implications of this. Is it really possible that Model Y vehicles can be made in Texas by the end of this year? It seems kind of incredible, but we're going to take a deeper look and look at some of the different angles here. All right, so Tesla is rumored to choose Austin as the site of the next gigafactory, and it could be the fastest car factory rollout ever. And we're going to take a deeper look into this. If you can hear this on the live stream, you can give me a thumbs up. And go ahead, and if you're listening to this live, join in on the live chat. And we'll go ahead and answer questions at the end of this kind of first part. All right, here are the rumor highlights. First off, Tesla has chosen Austin area for the next gigafactory, or at least that's what Elon Musk is, leaning on. Second, Elon wants to produce the Model Y vehicles by the end of the year. And lastly, there is possible that they'll just do general assembly, right, at the Austin factory by the end of 2020. And then there's this question about how about Tulsa, Oklahoma? Okay, so let's look at these highlights in a bit more detail. So Electric on Friday came up with an article and said, according to a reliable source familiar with the matter, possibly someone who works at Tesla, he says that Tesla CEO Elon Musk is set on bringing the next Tesla Gigafactory, or now Terrafactory, to Austin, Texas, or at least close to the city. And they're expected to make the Tesla Cybertruck and the Model Y at this new factory. All right. He says that Fred says that the decision for the site is not set in stone, and there are a few options in the greater Austin area. Musk is said to want to start construction extremely soon and aims to have the Model Y vehicles coming out of the plant by the end of the year. However, we are told that Tesla would aim only to have a general assembly line ready on that timeline. And so by late next year, the new Texas Gigafactory would be producing Tesla's new Cybertruck, electric pickup truck. All right, after this article was published on Electric, Seth Weintraub, which is the publisher of Electric or the owner of Electric, he does 9to5 Mac and a few other sites. He says that within the hour or so, Tesla reached out to not just one or two, but at least three different news outlets right after Electric published this to say that they're considering Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so let's look at what's going on here. So TechCrunch is one of the outlets that came out with the report right after Electric's. And the behind the scenes thing is Seth Weintraub is saying that Tesla's PR basically reached out as quote unquote an anonymous source to kind of seed the story that Tulsa, Oklahoma is still in the running. And so TechCrunch says Tesla officials visited two sites in Tulsa, Oklahoma this week to search for a location. A final decision has not been made, but Austin and Tulsa are among the finalists. So it seems like Tesla PR is trying to do damage control. They haven't yet signed, right, the final agreements with Austin, and so they want to explore Tulsa, the next kind of final candidate, and they don't want to kind of close the loops before they have a chance to get full negotiation. All right, so the big question is Hutto, Texas, the site that Tesla is going to choose? Now, there's a lot of rumors going on that it is Hutto, Texas, and I want to look at this a little bit deeper here. So Hutto, Texas is this kind of outskirt area in the greater Austin area. Here's Austin here. Here's Round Rock, where like Dell computers made famous. Austin is a home of a lot of tech companies, lots of stuff happening in Austin. And Hutto is about, probably like 10, 15 miles away from Austin, or at least the center. And it's a growing kind of small kind of, rural area. So here's the city website of Hutto, Texas. And it says that they have a dual rail site. Now, this was the site that they had submitted back in 2014 or so when Tesla was looking for the first gigafactory site. And the city of Hutto pulled together 1,500 acres at that time. And it was like supposedly the runner up to the gigafactory, but Nevada won. And this site is still available. And the electricity is deregulated. They have dual class railroads and several airports nearby. And the key is this. is that the city of Hodo is prepared to expedite entitlements, permitting, and inspections, and is able to meet tight project deadlines, right? This is the number one criteria. There's a lot of FUD going on that Tesla wants, you know, huge incentives, etc. And I think to a certain level, yeah, if you're going to invest billions and billions of dollars, right, in an area where you didn't have to, you want at least some incentives in terms of like the taxes that you're going to pay, right, to the local and state officials, etc. So I think that's, you know, a fair game. But I think the number one criteria for Tesla is and always is going to be, I think, the speed of rollout, right? How much regulations is it? How fast, right, are the authorities guaranteeing that they can actually build a factory? Okay, so here are the implications of all this. First, it does look like, in my opinion, that the greater Austin area is the site for the next, right, Tesla factory, whether it's Gigafactory, eventually Terafactory. And I think this is an expedited timeline because of the Fremont shutdown, meaning this whole Fremont shutdown fiasco has made Tesla kind of reevaluate their plans. And now they want to not just build a site in Austin, but they want to push production as soon as possible. So they're going to start with Model Y production, and they want to get these Model Y vehicles off the line at the end of the year. Okay, so what does this mean? It means that this is probably going to be the fastest car factory rollout ever in history, in my opinion. And the question is, will this be only the general assembly line, right? That's what the Electric article reported. Possibly, it could be more than that, right? And I'm going to kind of go into the details here. They would have to probably ship the powertrains, no matter what, from the Nevada Gigafactory. That's where they make the cells and the packs. And that takes a huge amount of infrastructure. It's been built up over time, so it makes sense that they ship it. But what do they do with the vehicle bodies, right? Do they ship these vehicle bodies already painted, right, and finished from Fremont, and then just do the final assembly, right, in Austin? Like, that seems kind of like redundant, right? If you're already gonna build the body in white, weld everything, paint everything, have the powertrains, and then the final step, I don't know, it seems kind of like inefficient to just ship the complete bodies, but I'm going to look into this in more detail. All right, the way I'm processing this, and the whole point of my channel really is to help us kind of think through things through deeper angles, right, from various points of views. And this piece of news on Friday, it kind of just got, you know, thrown out. People were like, oh yeah, hype, you know, yeah, Austin, Model Y, and then people just forgot about it. And I haven't really seen people take a deeper look at this, and I think it's significant. This past weekend, I was gone for 3 days. We went camping up in the mountains in Idyllwild, California, and I was surprised that, you know, not many people are talking about this. So I want to take a deeper dive here. So I think Austin, Texas is going to be rolled out in different stages. So the first stage is going to be, I think, the assembly line stage. And this is where they're going to start construction ASAP, right? There could be an announcement within a few weeks that Austin has been chosen. They're going to get permits, right, expedited. This is part of the negotiation process right now, I believe. They're going to be leveling the ground, you know, building a foundation, getting, like, you know, the first parts of the building up as soon as possible. And they're going to set up a general assembly line modeled off of their Shanghai plant. It's going to be simple. It's going to be efficient. It's not going to be the whole dreadnought thing. They've learned a lot from those days. And they're going to probably, in this stage, prep the stamping, painting, and the body in white. And here's what I mean. I think, yeah, sure, they could set up a general assembly line, etc. But that doesn't really take much, right? You can build a permanent tent structure, and you have people, and you just have to have all the parts there, right? And you can assemble cars. So that doesn't seem that ambitious to me, actually, just to have a general assembly line. I think they're going to have to prepare, right, getting the stamping presses in and get the paint shop in, right? And get all the robots to weld the body in white. And in order to do this, I don't think it's going to be possible by the end of the year to get all of this stuff up and running. So probably in Elon Musk's mind, he says, worst case, we're going to ship vehicles, the painted bodies, the powertrains from Nevada, and all of the parts. And in this Gigafactory in Austin, will just pull it all together, right? That's worst case. But in the best case scenario, they're going to be able to do certain parts in addition to that, right? Maybe it be stamping, maybe it be painting, maybe it be body in white. So that's kind of stage one. In stage two is when they finally get all of the stuff running, meaning they get the stamping press running, right? This is a huge machine. It takes like probably 6 to 12 months just lead time to get this after they order. They get the paint shop up and running. Again, this is extremely complex to do. And then they get their body in white robots. These are the robots that weld together. They weld together all of the different, you know, parts of the car. And then they're gonna probably ship the seats, the dash, right? The dashboard, the glass in the car, the different parts, etc., from Reno and from Lathrop. Lathrop is where they do most of their castings. And so in my opinion, by the end of Q1 2020, their goal is to have a complete full production line, right? Stamping, painting, you know, welding, doing the whole thing in Austin, Texas, right? This is their goal, end of Q1 with Model Y production. They'll still ship the rest of the parts, right? From Fremont and Reno, et cetera, but the big bulk of the production will be done in Austin. Now, stage three is they're gonna start building the supporting production, meaning they're gonna start building the seats, the dashboard, the plastics, the glass, and all of the different parts that Tesla, you know, makes. They're gonna start making that in Austin as well. It's gonna be a full production system, and I believe the target is gonna be summer 2020, right, that they'll have everything up and running. Now, the fourth stage is they're gonna start preparing for the Cybertruck production, and the initial production is estimated the end of 2021, and they're gonna have, you know, full battery pack and probably, right, cell production going on in Austin. Who knows, maybe this will start a bit earlier, right? At the end of this year or even early next year, they'll start to build cells and actually they'll be ready for the Cybertruck by the end of 2021. All right, guys, so this is kind of like, you know, Tesla's plan. What does this mean in general? First, I think it's a smart move to diversify risk. I think Tesla right now is just way too overweight in terms of their production in Fremont. And I think there's a decent chance that Fremont shuts down again because Alameda County is one of the most strictest places regarding shutdowns. And during this winter, I think there's a decent likelihood there's gonna be some flare-ups, right? And Tesla could be a victim of these shutdowns. And so I think Elon and Tesla want to mitigate this risk. And I think it's a smart move to mitigate this risk. And yeah, that's why you expedite Austin as fast as you can. Second, it makes sense because they need to ramp Model Y and they need to ramp Cybertruck, right, when it gets out. And so in order to do this, they need a factory anyway. So why not just pull up your factory plans, get Model Y at least up running as fast as you can, mitigate, right, the risk of shutdown in Fremont. That's what it's all about. And you also, for battery day, are gonna announce, right, new cells, new packs, etc. It's a great place to start new production. And I think overall, this demonstrates Tesla's ability to move fast. And it also demonstrates the high demand that Tesla has for their new products like Model Y and Cybertruck. If they didn't have Model Y and Cybertruck kind of ramping up, right, they wouldn't need another factory. But because they have these new products with super high demand, they have the flexibility to ramp up a new factory quick as possible. All right, so these are just some quick thoughts. I think over the next few weeks, we're going to have more clarity from Tesla regarding Austin, and I think we're going to be surprised. I think Elon is going to push an expedited Model Y production out of Austin by the end of this year, if not by the end of Q1 next year. All right, here are some questions. If you want to ask a question, please go ahead, put all caps question, colon, and then ask your question. Sorry, I wasn't able to kind of read all the live chat up until this point. So go ahead and I'll try to take a look at as many questions as I can. While you guys kind of post your questions here, here are a few questions I kind of brainstormed myself. Will Tesla move their headquarters to Austin, Texas too? Yeah, I think this is kind of inevitable. If you have this new kind of factory, if it's really going to be a Terra factory, like that's like 30 times as big as like Reno in some ways in terms of cell production, you're gonna probably have your engineering headquarters there too. You're gonna have a satellite office always in Palo Alto or the Bay Area, but I think increasingly over time, Tesla will move their headquarters probably to Austin, Texas. All right, will Tesla make vehicles in Reno Gigafactory? Right, so this has been a big option that Tesla could always do. They've thought about, right, making the Model Y at Reno rather than Fremont, and they might have regretted their decision with all the shutdown. But I think, yeah, I think Reno is gonna make, I believe, probably the Tesla Semi, right? And who knows, you know, they might actually ramp up, they might split production, right, between, they might move actually Model Y, let's say production over time, over to something like a Reno. And the majority might happen in Texas or so. That's my kind of, you know, opinion. All right, will this change the future Fremont plans? Yeah, I think it does. In my opinion, I think Fremont is capped. I think Elon has had enough with kind of the Bay Area and the shutdowns. There won't be probably, I think, that much expansion in Fremont or the Bay Area anymore. Elon has set his sights to Texas or Oklahoma, who knows, but probably Texas. And that's where the expansion is going to happen. All right, what's the significance of Battery Day? I think there's a few things with Battery Day as it comes up that we need to think about. First of all, it's obvious Tesla's going to release a new million mile cell, right? And this cell is going to have different new technologies like, you know, dry electrode technology, tabless design, it's going to have new chemistry, lower cobalt, etc. The second thing is this new cell is going to have a lot more ability to charge and discharge over time. The second thing is, I think they're going to announce a cell-to-pack type of approach where they're getting rid of the modules. And the third thing is they're going to announce this vehicle-to-grid technology, right? It's going to be a virtual power plant. Either tomorrow or Wednesday, I'm going to do a deeper dive into this because I think it really does kind of like change the whole identity of Tesla. And I think it's very significant. And the fourth thing in Battery Day is they're going to announce probably their Terafactory plans, right? To significantly ramp up battery production to the point that where they can make 10 to 20 million cars a year by 2030. And all of this stuff is good news. The most interesting or kind of unknown thing that people are starting to kind of get their hands on is the vehicle to grid technology. And we'll talk about that more in a bit. All right, what do you think about Tesla raising full self-driving pricing by $1,000 on July 1st? So if you haven't heard, Elon tweeted that they're raising the price of the full self-driving option, I think from $7,000 to $8,000 on July 1st. Now, I'm not a fan, actually. Personally, you know, I've had autopilot for the longest time, you know, since my Model S P85, you know, back in the day. Actually, that didn't have autopilot, actually. That was like a pre-autopilot. But my Model 3 is a December 2017 Model 3. And so I've had autopilot, and I just don't think it's worth at this point, like $7,000 or even $8,000 for the feature set right now, right? If you're buying this full self-driving, you know, feature, you're buying it on the hopes of the promise that this is going to come. And it's just, I don't know, I'd rather have Tesla just release the features and up the cost as the features really, you know, justify the cost, right? I understand why they're doing it. It is an incentive for people to pay more or to get the feature ahead of time, etc. And Elon is saying it's going to go up in price, but I don't know. I'm more of a thing if the timeline is unclear in terms of exactly when full self-driving is released, then I don't know. I'd rather have them not so much charge high for a feature that is not clear on the release date. Anyways, that's my opinion. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the questions that viewers are asking right now in this live stream. All right, so Vidu says, this is a complete newbie question. What would happen to a share of Google if the company was split into smaller branches? Would it be split among them, or would there be separate IPOs? Yeah, I think my understanding is once a company splits, you just basically get one share of the new company. So the new company has identical shares as the old company or the splitted company, and then the existing shareholders just get a new share in this new company, and it's going to be publicly traded. So, and that could change over time as well. There's probably a lot of different issues or questions. All right, could Tulsa be a hedge in case Texas does not release Tesla from direct manufacturer sales? Yeah, I think Tesla still has some bargaining issues. They want probably Texas to commit to allowing them to have direct sales, which they can't right now. There's probably a few other issues, right? That Tesla is insistent on, and Texas hasn't given in yet. So I think there is final negotiations right now. All right, Tomer says, why doesn't Tesla build the General Assembly tent in Nevada right now? Why wait for Giga Austin? Yeah, I mean, that's my question. Like, you know, if it was really just an assembly line in Austin, then why would you do that, right? Send all this stuff over there just to get assembled, right? And yeah, Tomer, you're right. Why not just do it quicker, right? Do it in Reno, which the battery packs already there, right? You don't need to ship them, and it's a quicker line. So that's where I'm thinking actually it's going to be more than assembly, right? I actually think they're going to try to do stamping and body in white and paint, and I think Elon is trying to push it by the end of this year. That's my personal opinion. And if he can't, he'll ship it, but you know, that's not ideal, but latest Q1, end of Q1 2020, that's my opinion. All right, Fattest Boy 911 says, advantage is a Tulsa location over Austin location. Yeah, I don't know exactly the negotiations. I would imagine Oklahoma is giving a ton of incentives, right? And promising expedited speed, right? That's the key. And so that's probably the big thing. Austin, though, is probably a sexier location for Elon. He's already committed to Texas, right? He says their headquarters are going to be in Nevada or Texas, so he kind of gave it away anyways. Austin's kind of cool. It's kind of a tech hub close to big cities, you know, like San Antonio and Houston, and close to SpaceX launch site. All right, Gad says, when do you think Tesla will set up in Africa and other developing regions? Yeah, I think it's just a matter of demand. You know, if Tesla has the demand, they'll set up, you know, remote or offices or, you know, delivery centers, service centers, infrastructure. The thing is, it does take a good amount of money for Tesla to expand because they need to set up the superchargers in new locations, right? They're not just going to sell cars. And so they really have to invest a lot of money. Africa could be an interesting place for kind of, you know, power walls, the vehicle to grid technology, all this stuff. So yeah, Tesla will get there over time. All right, question. Do you think they will announce 2 Terafactories, Oklahoma and Texas? Yeah, you know, possibly. I think right now they don't really need 2 factories right now in mid-US right now. They just need one. They just need the big one, right? And Austin has a lot more benefits. They'll put their headquarters in Austin and it'll be easier for them to go back and forth there. All right, Ryan says, if Tesla is able to ramp up production of his factories such as Shanghai, Berlin, and Texas, how long until they are able to pose a direct threat to Toyota? Yeah, I think Toyota, the thing is here, Toyota is operating generally on a different market. Sure, they have the Lexus brand, which is gonna be hit first by Tesla because Tesla is operating in similar price points. But their main kind of like economy kind of cars, the Camry, the Corolla, all this stuff, the RAV4, the trucks. I mean, for Tesla to hit Toyota like where it hurts, they really need a car past Model 3 and Model Y and Cybertruck. They need a car, in my opinion, that's like $25,000 or so. And I think this is why I'm actually personally most excited about Battery Day, because I think it does show, and it will show, a clear path to a Gen 4, right? A cheaper vehicle, right? There was a leaked article on Friday, or last week I did a live stream called Tesla's Battery Plans Leaked, Revealed. And it shows that, you know, through CATL, they have cell costs of $60, right? Per kilowatt hour, and and $80 on a pack level, and that's for the lithium iron phosphate. However, that's showing that we can get the battery packs down to maybe $4,000 or so for a 50 kilowatt battery, and that's just amazing. Think about $4,000. This will, I think, enable Gen 4, and that's going to enable Tesla to go to the heart of Toyota and get basically these mass cars. Delivered. All right, let's go. John Quick says, what is your opinion on Tesla gradually increasing self-driving price to 100K? Yeah, I don't think Tesla is saying that they're going to go to 100K. They're just saying that the value or the worth of it is going to be $100,000, right? So they're not going to go to 100K, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. All right, question. How significant do you think the cost differences are for producing the same vehicle in Fremont, Austin, Shanghai, or Berlin? Yeah, I think actually they're quite significant. Tesla has a lot of like CapEx invested into Fremont, and that's when they were the most inefficient. There's a lot of CapEx inefficiently as well invested into Reno, because it's just their first kind of factories. They're just learning. For Shanghai, it's like they've learned from all their mistakes and it's super efficient, right? And labor is also cheaper. I think for Austin and Berlin, it's going to be amazingly a lot cheaper. And that's going to allow Tesla, I think, to drop their cost or increase their feature set. All right. Here's a question from Mark, sir. He says, quite sure you noticed antitrust bubble trouble before Google research. Which pieces of information caused your view to change on tech giants? How do you evaluate the risks of political interventions? Yeah, so I think the antitrust kind of risk was the top risk that I had for Google in my first video. However, when I looked into it deeper, I started to see like all of the pieces coming together where I just really couldn't rationally, you know, argue that Google would escape from this. You know, like I think they're gonna get hit hard. And it's also because of the changing political environment, where I think both sides of the aisle are starting to agree that there needs to be antitrust action taken. And so the more I look into it, the more I start to see there are risks. And the risks most likely aren't going to be that devastating. It's just that because there's a chance that there could be some really significant, you know, damage, that gives me hesitation with companies like Google or Facebook, like Amazon. All right, my stream right now is kind of getting choppy. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and end this live stream a little bit early. Sorry, guys. I'll try to work on this technical issue for my next video. All right, coming this week, I'm looking to go ahead and do a deeper dive onto the Tesla virtual power plant vehicle-to-grid technology, what that means as Tesla shareholders. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do so. Also, please go ahead and like this video. That really helps get the word out, helps YouTube, you know, push it, publicize it more. And we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks. Bye.